This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Now, if I asked you to think of all the ways you could make art, many thoughts would come to mind, but I bet scanning dead birds would not be among them. And yet, that's just the kind of thinking that makes the Click the Triangle Photography exhibit unique. The objective is to celebrate photography and the works of the artists of this area. There are more than 60 events at 30 venues this month. Right now, we're going to preview two of the upcoming events. We'll talk more about the dead bird photo scans in a minute. But first, Bryce Lankard is one of the coordinators of the festival, also an accomplished photographer himself. He's going to be leading an open discussion next Tuesday at 7 at the Carrick in Durham. It's called Photographic Fishtails, Stories of Landing the Big One and the Ones That Got Away. Bryce, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
Tell us about the event in general, kind of what is it and how it came about.
Well, the Photography Festival is now in its fourth year. It's gone through a few iterations, it's now the Click Triangle Photography Festival. It's actually more like 75 events at over 30, almost 40 venues throughout the entire triangle. It takes the entire month of October. I think there are only 2 days this month where there's not some photographic event going on.
And what kind of events? Give us the kind of scope of what we might see.
Certainly exhibitions at museums and galleries, panel discussions, talks, book signings, pop-up shows, projection events, almost anything you can imagine involving the medium of photography.
You talked about it sort of taking place and changing over time over the past few years. And it's grown, right? So that suggests a certain amount of interest, not only in the talent field, the number of photographers who contribute, but the interest among people who want to see this stuff.
Well, it's one of the most democratic mediums out there. I mean, everyone has a cell phone now. It's a camera. I think it's one of the most important mediums out there. The variety of stuff from student work to self-taught artists to ones with master's degrees to people working without even cameras like these two here. It's very diverse, and it's accessible to a lot of folks, and but you can still educate them on the various ways it can be manifested.
And you do that in your talk on photo fishtails and the ones that got away. Tell us about that. What do we mean by that?
Well, it's, you know, everyone has a story, right? There's these iconic images. It's nice to know sort of how an artist managed to capture that, the magical moments that came together to create that, or an image that inspired you, or the first photo you took and the moment you know you wanted to be a photographer, all those kinds of tales. And, of course, there's the stories of the images that you missed that only live on in your memory.
So give us an example in your life.
I'm going to tell you a really short one about one that got away. It's 1987, August. I'm a young photographer in New Orleans on a road trip to Memphis to go photograph Elvis' death day. And on the way up,
I'm not sure. Hang on one second. Yes. I'm not sure I know what Elvis' death day is.
Well,
and maybe it's to my shame, but I will confess.
Certainly.
That.
Well, now it's Elvis' death week, but back then it was just okay. Elvis' death day. August 17th, the day he died, people come to celebrate his life. Mm-hmm. And I was very curious, so I wanted to go and photograph this event. Now it takes place for an entire week. But on this drive up, listening to the radio, and there's all this talk about this thing, if you'll recall, the harmonic convergence. Mm-hmm. It was this Mayan calendar, all the planets line up, and in theory, all these people were going to come together and speak the same language and worship the same God and so on. And I, you know, barely paid attention to it. And so I showed up at Graceland, and I look around, and I see punk rockers from Germany and spiked-haired kids from Japan and hippies from California and you name it, and they all have candles lit singing songs in the same language to the same God. And I don't think I took a single picture that day that was worth anything, but I did pick up a candle and had my own sort of spiritual experience.
Wow.
It took me another year. I came back a year later and made good pictures, but wasn't able to.
Well, you also had an experience at Graceland too, right?
I did. Yeah, that was 10 years later. Unfortunately, this fellow just passed away. But there's a family there, just outside of Memphis. Paul McLeod and his son Elvis Aaron Presley McLeod run a 24-hour museum called Graceland 2, where you can show up at 3 a.m. and either one of them would let you in and give you a tour of what I think Guinness Book of Records thought was the largest collection of Elvis memorabilia anywhere. And unfortunately, he's just passed away this recently. But
but an interesting story. He and his son got it. Apparently, his wife not so much. Am I right?
That's true. At one point, she had turned to him and said, "Enough is enough. It's Elvis or it's me." And he will tell you this story in his tour. And he turned to her and said, "Well, it's been nice knowing you."
Wow. And, Blue Christmas without you.
Yeah.
So, and also an experience, I mean, talking about the ones that got away, I guess for a professional photographer, especially if you're doing documentary photography or news stuff, I mean, maybe this is true for all photography as well, is sort of anticipating the moment, right? You have to be a second ahead of what's going to happen. Something like that?
Certainly, you know, I think you build up your skills and instinct. You have to, you know, you don't have to think about how to operate your camera when that kind of moment happens. You have to be trained in your instincts and be ready to see and move if you're that kind of a photographer.
Which you did apparently on a Greenpeace caper where you were covering.
Yeah, well, I'm going to save that story for the night of. It's a long story, and I don't know if we have enough time for it. But yes, some
it involves you swinging on a mast, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and dressed like a pirate.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we'll hang on to that story, and we'll find out about the birds on the scanner now, if you won't tell us about hanging on the Greenpeace mast. Okay. And for that, I will introduce Jim Lee and Leah Sobsey. They're both photographers, not using a camera for their current exhibit. It is called The Scanners, and they use Everyday Computer Scanner to create a different type of photo, and that exhibit's going to be on display through October 24th at the Carrick in Durham. There's also going to be an opening reception tomorrow night at 6, but first let me welcome Jim Lee and Leah Sobsey. Welcome back to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be back.
Let's talk a little bit about what it is you do. Jim, tell us about the scanner art that you're doing.
Well, a scanner is what most people recognize as a piece of office equipment or used for scanning documents or, in some cases, photographic negatives and images. And it's the same, very same device. And in a real sense, it's a camera. It has certain optical characteristics that make the images unique, and that's what we take advantage of.
Well, talk about those, Leah, because it doesn't work quite the same way as a camera, and again, you sort of have to press your subject against it. Tell us about those unique features and why you're attracted to it.
Well, for me, so I'm the one who is doing the dead birds, and for me, that project started when a bird actually crashed into my window, and it was, to me, beautiful. So I decided to photograph it and scan it, and I really loved the detail that I got from that scan that I wasn't getting in my digital photography, since that project started a number of years ago, and I had been prior to that working in film. So it was a way, the resolution on the scanner is so exquisite. So it was a way for me to really be able to see the birds in a way that I hadn't been able to. And that led to actually going into the collection at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences and using their birds. So the birds that I'm exhibiting are from their collection. So I really went in, I showed up and got access to it and rolled up with my bag and my scanner, and that was my kind of makeshift studio.
Wow. By the way, the staff has just checked the archives, and I was right. Your statement that I'm the one who's doing the dead birds, first time ever spoken on this show. So we're going to mark that one.
Excellent.
But it's so interesting to me because this is the mind of the artist. This is how training in any of the arts is so interesting to me. The idea that a bird hitting a window would, for you, trigger a thought about your art, about the way in which you're capturing images and another way that you might do it and how that might be different.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, like I said, prior to this, I was working in film and I was also working in photograms and historical 19th century processes. So with photograms, you lay an object directly onto the photographic paper and expose it. So it was a sort of natural progression to lay these birds on the scanner and see the outcome of that.
And I have to say, it is stunning. You know, when I first heard about it, when we talked about it, I thought, well, anytime you put a three-dimensional, I mean, obviously paper is technically three-dimensional, but something that's not flat on a scanner, it kind of looks weird. But I'm amazed at the images that you get from these birds and the way certain elements almost look incandescent, mm-hmm. and the stark black background that mm-hmm. outlines the bird itself.
Yeah, so, you know, you can either leave the the lid up or down and change the background color. And I wanted that black background. And of course, it's not pristine. I mean, the birds that I was using are some of them are quite old. And so there's lots of dust. And so some of that is also done in post-production and Photoshop. But I knew I wanted that just pristine black. It was this, you know, again, sort of referencing these birds that had died and wanting to sort of memorialize them in a way. So providing that blackness, that starkness for them to sort of be laid upon was my intention.
I mean, and this does a great service for an animal that can no longer do its own selfie. Right. I mean,
right.
That's a great. Jim, forgive me.
Yeah.
And for all the birds who have passed, I'm sorry for that. Jim, tell me about your subjects. What is it that you scan?
Well, like Leah, a lot of my subjects are dead. Plant life, animal life. But in this exhibit, I also have some live subjects and some moving subjects.
Such as?
Which are put on the scanner.
Wow.
And they create certain really interesting motion and chromatic aberration artifacts that, you know, give a unique perspective on life and the mechanics of scanning.
Wow. Do you close the lid, and how do they take to that?
you know, this. No, I don't close the lid.
Okay. So and tell me. Go ahead.
They can look up if they like.
And who are they? They are
fish.
Oh wow.
Which raises another issue of how do you put water on a scanner to have fish swimming around on top of the scanner.
That was my next question.
Well, I didn't mean to anticipate your question, but so you know, I'm probably the engineer in the crowd who does a lot of manipulation of the machine itself, and adding apparatus to it and taking apparatus from it. So in this case, I actually built an apparatus that allowed me to scan these living fish.
And that does get to the difference in the way a scanner creates an image versus a camera, the fact that the scanner sort of works line by line and the camera is holistic. Am I right?
The nature of the light in a scanner gives it a unique look. It almost gives it a painterly look because the light is not a point source. It's a line source. And so it's things are evenly lit across the entire frame of the scanner, as it were. The other thing is that the scanner produces its own light, and so it requires something to reflect light back to it. And when you take the lid off, as Leah mentioned, that light that goes past the subject doesn't get reflected back, so it looks black to the scanner. So you know there are ways to manipulate that.
We are talking about the Click the Triangle Photography exhibit this month, and we're talking about it on The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacia with my guests Bryce Lankard, Leah Sobsey, and Jim Lee. Leah, do you look at your photography, the art now, your work, differently now that you've created these images using scanners?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, the subject sort of dictates the technology. Mm-hmm. So as I move through different projects, it may be a scanner that I use, it may be a film camera, it may be a digital camera, maybe 19th century processes. So it really is dictated more by the idea, and the tool is sort of secondary. So, you know, it's, as I say, as a teacher, that it's like the more we have access to, the better off we are. Mm. So, you know, it's one more tool that we have as a photographer to incorporate into our work.
Bryce, you're still using film, am I right?
I am, certainly.
And we're talking about these changes in technology. Why? And Leah says, you know, the more we have available, the better it is.
Sure.
And you're using an older technology. Why?
Sure. I have just fallen in love with, again, just the combination of optics in the particular cameras that I use. I like the way this lens and this film combine to create a look. I think that everyone can sort of choose their weapon, I suppose, you know, whether is your cell phone or a digital camera. I think that just having lots of menu choices available to anyone is good, but those are the ones I've chosen. I like the way it looks.
Do you think, what is the technology? I mean, the fact that everybody can take a picture kind of every sip of coffee now becomes a photographic moment. Has that increased our interest in photography as art, or are we becoming inured to the whole? I mean, what's happening in terms of?
I think it's worked both directions.
Yeah.
I think that people are sort of more visually literate and aware now because everyone can take a picture. But then for the same reason, I think people often don't understand sort of the value in that image because it's more like, well, I could have done that. You know, so why is that image have worth to me? So that's sort of, I think, what this festival hopes to do is showcase sort of the importance and power and diversity of this medium. There's a great show I have to read this title of the show. That's one of the venues. This is at Spectre Arts. And there's 11 openings this Friday on photography alone in Durham.
All in Durham. And it's all over the Triangle.
It is.
Right?
But so we follow the model, the art walks. And so this is the third Friday. But here's a show title for you. Neo pre post contra para anti hyper pro trans ultra photography show, and it was curated by a UNC professor, Ellen O'Hara Slavic, and I know that one of her curatorial missions in this was to just bring together as many different types of photography that she could find, and it was just about the love of the medium. So that's a great one.
It is a big, wide festival. You can check out our website, stateofthings.org, for all the details. But first, I want to thank my guest today, Bryce Lankert, a photographer who is leading the Photographic Fishtails Tuesday at the Carrick in Durham, Jim Lee and Leah Sobsey, two photographers using scanners in very different ways to capture images. That exhibit is on display at the Carrick through October 24th. But as we say, the Click the Triangle Festival is going on all over the Triangle for about a month, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things, produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.